welcome to the Vine TV Easter. I'm so thankful that you made space to connect with us today, and I can't wait to get to know you more. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Tyler West, and I get to serve as the lead pastor, and I'm the founder of the Vine Church here in Spartanburg. And whether it's your first time with us, your 50th time with us, your 100th time with us, your 200th time, well, almost, whatever it is with you, if you know me or you've heard about me, you know I love to kick off our message each and every week with some audience participation. So wherever you are on the spectrum of hanging out with us, I'm going to ask you to play along, and here's how you can. I'm about to count to three, and when I do, I'm going to ask for some virtual high fives and fist bumps, and here's how you can play. You can fist bump me on screen. You can give me a high five. Hey, if you see some folks commenting some fist bumps, you reply back with a fist bump or a high five. Let's have some fun here to kick things off. So you know how to play. Here we go. One, two, three. Here's some high fives for us. Give some virtual high fives there. Hey, maybe some folks are fist bumping. Give me some fist bumps wherever you are. Reply back to those. Let's do that today. Let's have a little bit of fun today. Whatever you're doing, let's have some fun. Hey, I know that was, hopefully we got to connect a little bit. Didn't you feel a little bit of a connection there? I know in this season of social distancing, we may not be in the same room, but I love that we still get to connect each and every week. Speaking of connection, throughout these past few weeks, we've been diving into this series called The Bridge. And what we've been unpacking and walking through is no matter where you are in your story, no matter what season you're in life, Jesus is our bridge to the other side of it. We've been talking about how Jesus is our bridge to unity. Jesus is our bridge to authenticity. Jesus is our bridge to hope. He is our bridge to growth. And today we're going to be diving into how Jesus is our bridge to life. And what better way to do that than talk about it on Easter Sunday? Speaking of Easter Sunday, I still need some help with you. So we started with a little game. Maybe you missed out on participating with that. So I want to ask you that you participate in this. If it describes you or you would like to share your answer in the comments on a couple of these questions, it's Easter Sunday, so we got to have some fun. So hang in here with me, all right? So here we go. If this describes you or you want to answer this question, go ahead and throw that in the comments. Here's the first question for each and every one of us. Number one, what's your favorite Easter candy? Peeps? Robin eggs, rainbow bubblegum eggs. What else? Reese's Pieces carrots. If you're God's children, it's Reese's peanut butter eggs, right? Cadbury eggs, jelly beans. They still do that. If that's you and you like those, whatever that is, whatever it is, put down your favorite Easter candy. All right. Thank you for playing along. We got some more. Here we go. What's your favorite Easter tradition? Like maybe you like Easter egg hunting. Some of us like Easter egg. Maybe you like pastels. Maybe you like taking pictures with the Easter bunny. Maybe you like going downstairs to see the basket that the Easter bunny brought you. Maybe you know someone who has an Easter egg tree, and that's a favorite tradition of yours. Maybe you like going to church with grandma or papa and having lunch afterwards. Whatever that is, what is your favorite Easter tradition? Like for me, it would probably be messing up my Easter outfit. That's probably mine as we get to know each other today. Now, this one is one of the most important questions of all, okay? As we get to connect and know each other today, I really need your help with this one, okay? Here's the third one. Who is the Cadbury Bunny? Is it the lion? Is it the pig? Is it the dog? Is it the kitty cat? Who is the Cadbury Bunny? Because I'm going to tell you, my entire life, I have been following bunnies, trying to find the Cadbury Bunny, and they never leave me a Cadbury egg, and I'm so disappointed. If you know the Cadbury Bunny, would you comment today so that there's some marketing opportunities that I would love to discuss. If you know the Cadbury Bunny today, would you please share that with me? But a real question I want to ask you today, honestly, you don't have to leave your answer in the comments because we're going to unpack this, is what does Easter mean to you? What does Easter mean to you? You know, we're going to talk about some folks that answer that question. For some folks, Easter is not a good day. We talk about that at Christmas a lot as folks are around families and celebrating that. But Easter can mean so many things to so many different people. And I would love to learn what Easter means to you, because I'm going to share what Easter means to me today. Maybe you would like to connect with us throughout the week. If you're watching on Sunday, we can talk about what Easter means. We're going to be hanging out in a Zoom meeting after this, and we'd love to talk with you face-to-face, one-on-one, or Maybe you're listening throughout the week. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. We would love to communicate with you over email or text message, phone call, FaceTime. We can set up a Google Hangout. We can set up a Zoom meeting. Whatever that looks like, we would love to unpack and talk and learn from you what Easter means to you. And so as we go into this question today, we're going to be continuing into our series called The Bridge and talk about how Jesus is our bridge to life, because that is really what Easter is all about. So if you got your Bible today, I would love for you to get to John 20, the Gospel of John and chapter 20, John chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We'd love to send you one free for the asking, and not just send it to you. We'd love to help you learn how to read it if you need help with that. But in this day and age that we live in, so many of us like to do things digitally. So if you would like to do this digitally, maybe you like to take notes digitally, I want to show you today how you can follow along with us. So here's the first thing you need to do. You need to download the Bible app from the App Store. Once you download the Bible app, you're going to open it up. Now, once you open it up, you're going to click on the More tab. Once you click on the More tab, you're going to see an Events tab. When you click on that, make sure your location services are on, and you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the title of today's message, Life. But not only that, you're going to see all the scripture that we're going to walk through. You're going to see a place for you to take notes and also a place for you to connect with us throughout the week if there's any way that we can pray for you or serve you in any way. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to John chapter 20 and start in verse 1. And it says this: Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, that is John, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, the cloth still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. If you got a Bible, mark that, highlight that, because that's so, so important. They still not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back where they were staying. So when we talk about what Easter is all about, I'll put all my cards on the table. Easter is about the empty tomb, but more importantly, it's about how Jesus is our bridge to life, how I was a sinner dead in my sin, but because Christ Jesus came, he lived the perfect life that I couldn't live because of my sin. He died the death that I deserve and paid the wages of my sin by dying on the cross. But he loved me enough that he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day and left an empty tomb to show me and remind a whole world and show the whole world how we can have life and we can live life to the full if we just believe he is who he says he is. We don't have to wait to experience heaven on earth or heaven in the future. As a matter of fact, we get to live out heaven on earth right now and be exactly who he created us to be. So in a nutshell, I will tell you that Easter is what we just talked about. But so many times when I ask that question, folks will get offended or folks will ask this. And I don't want to offend you today. I'm just going to share with you when I asked this question, what some folks answered when I asked, "What is Easter to you?" I've heard someone describe it as a magic trick. They told me that, hey, Jesus actually, he just went into a coma-like state where his heartbeat was so low and his breathing was so low, people thought he was dead. And because of that, they put him in the tomb. And he spent 3 days in the tomb, and like a spa, he got revived. In 110 pounds of linen and spices, he got revived. And because that rejuvenated him, he wasn't really dead. It gave him a spark of energy he needed. He rolled the stone away, and he wasn't really dead. So it was just a magic trick. It was a David Copperfield show. And so that is what left the empty tomb that was just described in John 20. And that is what Easter is all about. I've heard some folks say it to it this way. Hey, maybe the disciples and the women that were with them, the women who went to the tomb first and then brought the disciples in, and the angels that show up a little bit later, maybe their GPS was wrong. Like, if you've ever been to a memorial garden or been to a graveyard, you know, there are tons of headstones everywhere. So at this time when the tomb was, there were tons of tombs. So maybe their GPS was wrong and they just rolled up to the wrong tomb. And so it was empty. And so because of that, then Easter really isn't the Easter that Christians say it is. It just really isn't that. So Easter to that answer was, it was just somebody went to the wrong tomb. I've also heard this, and it's kind of concise. This was their answer, but it's not as simplistic as I would say, but it's something that points to maybe the age we live in as well. Is they explained it to me this way. They said, well, you see, Jesus couldn't have risen from the dead at Easter because scientifically it's impossible. As a matter of fact, we've been trying to build Frankenstein for years upon years, and we've never been able to bring a dead thing back to life. They pointed to Darwin and said, Darwin shows us that we were primordial soup, and right now what we live in is we came from that primordial soup, and if I could just find the missing link, then finally, Tyler, you would believe that I'm right and that Easter has no significance at all. And so when I tell you what Easter means to me and how it means that Jesus set me free from sin, and because he set me free from sin, I'm not destined to spend eternal death in hell. Instead, I'm actually set free from death and set free from sin and paying the penalty of death that sin brought upon me, and that he came to give me life. He is my bridge to life. I would say to you this way, I've even asked Christians that have told me that, and I've asked them what Easter means, and they would tell me Easter means heaven. They would tell me that Easter means that I don't have to struggle anymore in life and that I no longer have to walk through trials because Jesus died for me. I've heard people who profess to be Christian, when they talk about Easter, piecemeal it and say, well, Jesus gave me peace, or Jesus just wants me to be happy. And that's what Easter represents. And I just want to tell you today, as a follower of Christ, as someone who has been set free in Christ and has walked on the bridge and know that Jesus is my bridge to life, I want to tell you today that following Jesus is an all-in thing. It's not a piecemeal thing. It's kind of like that Easter candy I talked about a little bit earlier. Like, why in the world do they give us individual pieces of candy? They're just teasing you. Whenever you go, you're going to get the 5 or the 6-pack or the whole bag of candy when it goes to get Easter candy. The same thing is with Jesus. You can't piecemeal what it means to follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, you have to believe that all of it's true, because it's all in or nothing at all. And this is what I'm getting about. And this is what I want to talk to you about when I talk about what does Easter mean to you. Because even if you say you're a Christian and you don't believe the resurrection is true, or maybe you're not a Christian and you don't believe the resurrection is true, I'm telling you, when it comes to Easter, if you don't believe in the resurrection, there is no Easter at all. And so today, that's really what I want to talk about. I want to explain to you right now what a world without the resurrection would look like. So the question I want to ask you today, and the question I'm asking you right now, is what does a world without the resurrection look like? What does a world without the resurrection look like? What does a world without the resurrection look like? Number one, it's without identity. It's without identity. As a matter of fact, if there is no God, if there is no resurrection, then there is no God, and Jesus isn't who he says he is. A world without the resurrection is a world without identity. As a matter of fact, the name that you have is just a social construct. You are nothing but biology and physics, and you can change your biology, and you absolutely have no identity. You are not unique. You have no purpose. There's no need for you to even have a diploma on the wall with your name in it. You do not have an identity. As a matter of fact, you were just a blob of atoms smushed together that caused you a human. You are no different than the human down the road. You're no different than the mammal in the lab. A world without the resurrection is a world without identity. A world without the resurrection is a world without hope. It's a world without hope. It's a world that doesn't believe in brighter days ahead, a world that doesn't believe in a light at the end of the tunnel. As a matter of fact, a world without the resurrection is a world without hope. You might as well take the Hallmark card section and burn it to the ground, because there's no point in a world without the resurrection to have birthdays. There's no point to have graduation ceremonies. There's no point to have wedding anniversaries. As a matter of fact, when we look at that, there's no world, no way and no world that is in without the resurrection where you could even send a sympathy card. There's no hope for reunion of family after they die. All that you see is a beginning and an expiration date. Because a world without the resurrection is a world without hope. Because a world without the resurrection is nothing but death. It's going to all end in death anyway. As a matter of fact, folks that live in this hopeless world without resurrection and a world without hope will tell you from the moment you take your first breath, the next breath you take is the breath that's closest to your death. It's a world without hope. The third thing a world without the resurrection looks like is a world without meaning. It is a world that is random. It is a world that believes that we are just the third rock from the sun and that we just happen to be in this big bang explosion, perfectly set, perfectly in orbit to have four perfect seasons that sustain life on this earth. So much so that we aren't unique. Even though a world without a world that is without the resurrection has no identity, it has no hope, it has no meaning because we haven't even found this planet that's like us. As a matter of fact, we aren't uniquely made. There's 1,000 other worlds and 1,000 other galaxies. We just hadn't happened to meet those folks yet. As a matter of fact, a world without the resurrection would tell us that we're just going to go extinct anyway. We're just a species that's going through our million-year cycle, and somewhere along the way, we're going to get wiped out just like the dinosaurs, so it doesn't really matter. A world without the resurrection is a world without meaning. As a matter of fact, the Wednesday that you walk through, the hump day, whatever you walk through, got to have a little laugh. You know how that is. Got to do that, right? But the world without the resurrection is a world without meaning. As a matter of fact, that diploma you earned in college that you paid that expensive receipt for, that you're still in debt for without the resurrection is meaningless. And a matter of fact, when I look at a world without meaning, any family that you have is absolutely meaningless. As a matter of fact, a world without the resurrection is a world where you can't wish upon a star. Disneyland is pointless. They're selling you fake dreams so that they can make a profit in a world without the resurrection. A world without the resurrection does not have hope. It does not have identity. It does not have meaning because it has no purpose. Because in the end, we're all just going to die anyway. A world without the resurrection is a world without desire. It's a world without desire. It's a world that doesn't have you yearning for something more out there. It's a world that doesn't believe that brighter days are still ahead because it has no hope. It's a world that has no desire because it is a world, it is a world that has no justice. It is a world that has no fairness. As a matter of fact, if you are walking around in a world without the resurrection, there is no such thing as justice. There is no such thing as fairness. There is no such thing as our desire being met in any way, shape, or form. There's no reason why we should have love at all because it's all just going to end anyway. In a world without the resurrection, each and every one of us, why even want to be better tomorrow than we are today? As a matter of fact, if you're one of those folks right now that I've heard, and that's okay, that's so awesome. When you talk about, hey, and I would love to hear this from you, that a world without the resurrection is a world without desire, I would just ask you, do you fight against injustice? Because if you do, if you fight against injustice, you're actually making a case for the resurrection. You see, the world without the resurrection is a pretty bleak place. It's really not one that anybody wants to live in, is it? But consider this. I want to ask you for a moment, would you consider Jesus? What if the resurrection is true? What does that mean for you and I? What if the resurrection really did happen? What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? What if Jesus really did leave an empty tomb? What does a world with a resurrection look like? And we can find it right here in John 20, and it starts in verse 16. Verse 16 says, Jesus said to her, Mary, who went to the tomb first, Mary Magdalene, who was the first one to the empty tomb. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabbani, which means teacher. A world with a resurrection is a world where each and every one of us have an identity. A world where we were created on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose, where we have a name. And it matters so much so that the very creator of the universe can speak our name. And we have the opportunity to respond because Jesus has said that we have an identity in him because he is the great I am. He is the one that walked for us, that came for us, because we don't have to cease being who we were created to be in Christ Jesus. Remember what I said earlier. Hey, What I said earlier was he left an empty tomb so that we don't have to wait to experience heaven. We can experience heaven on earth so that we can be who he created us to be right now. In Christ Jesus, in the world with the resurrection, we have an identity. Let's go on to verse 17 and see what else a world with a resurrection looks like. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. A world with the resurrection is a world with hope. And we see that it's not hope and hope alone like we talked about last week, because hope and hope alone is hopeless. It's not that. As a matter of fact, a world with the resurrection shows us that hope has a name, and the name is Jesus Christ, that he is our hope. He is the one who holds us through no matter what season we're going through, no matter what we walk through. We have a hope because we know that in Christ Jesus, our next breath is our best breath. We know that whatever he's given us, he has called us to, that we, because he's given us an identity, he's given us a hope. I want us to know today that a world with the resurrection is a world with hope. It is not hopeless. We know that this is just a season. We know that what we're walking through right now is not a hopeless situation, that Jesus is doing what only he can do, and he's setting things up so that his glory can be revealed, just like he was doing right here with Mary, because she has an identity, because she has a purpose. Let's go on to see what a world with a resurrection looks like. In verse 19, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" In a world with a resurrection, we see that everything matters. It is not in a world without the resurrection. It is not something random for us. It is not a world without meeting. We see that everything matters. The season that we walk in matters because we don't go through it alone. We sing a song all the time here at the Vine, and I love it. It's called "Another in the Fire." And we know that whatever we're walking through in Christ Jesus, we do not walk through it alone. The addiction that we thought would keep us down is the one that we walk through and that Jesus redeems. The past relationships that were broken, Jesus goes through and redeems it for us. We are no longer defined by our past sins. We are no longer defined by our future failures. Instead, we are defined by Christ Jesus in this moment. And so a world with the resurrection is a world where everything matters. The season that we walk in matters. It's not hopeless. We can have identity in it. In a world with a resurrection, that's the only place that that can be found. In a world with a resurrection, everything matters. And verse 20 goes on to say, "After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side." And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You see, in a world with a resurrection, there's a world with love. Love has a name, and it is Jesus. He shows them right there. You know, the desire. We talked about a world without the resurrection is a world without desire. You know, the desire of all of our hearts is to love and to be loved. Isn't it crazy how we have a desire for so much more, how we have a desire for something bigger than us? There's something better for us out there, that there's something more somewhere. That desire inside of us can only be found and filled in Christ Jesus, because that is the love that will never fade. So much so that it would go die for us so that we could have life. A world with the resurrection is a world with love. You see, those are some awesome things, and you may be saying right now, well Tyler, you painted a picture that's okay. You sent me this bleakness without the resurrection, and you sent me this hope-filled thing with the resurrection, but I'm just not quite sold, because I still don't believe that's what Easter is about. And I want to tell you, there's one more thing that Easter is about. We've said it before, and we'll say it again. Easter is about Jesus being our bridge to life. Our bridge to life. Because, see, I was dead in my sin. I had no way to earn my way out of it. I had no way to work my way out of it. I had no way to memorize Bible verses, to pray prayers, to go through a program with 100 steps to earn my way. I could spend my entire life trying to earn the righteousness to set me free from the penalty of my sin that is death. There was no way that I could do it. But instead, in Christ Jesus, all I have to do is believe and I can receive it. Just like we saw in verse 8 there, where the disciples in John 20, verse 8, where it says he saw and believed. When John saw and believed, I want you to know today that Jesus is our bridge to life. And I can't convince you of that. It's not up to me to win an argument for you to do that. No. It's up to me to only point to the truth. And the truth is that Jesus, in Christ Jesus alone, is our bridge to life. The career that we have will not give us the life that we were created for. The cars, the houses, the bank accounts, the relationships, the status symbols, none of those things will give us the amount of likes, the amount of followers, the amount of comments we get on a post. None of those will give us the things that will sustain us and be our bridge to life. Only in Christ Jesus can we experience that. And that, my friend, is what Easter is all about. And so you may say, well, I'm still not quite sure about this resurrection thing. And I want to read you what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about this, because the thing is, you might be struggling with what's going on, and I know what it feels like to be there. I had to have someone help me too. I wasn't born knowing all of this. It wasn't like I just finally had a light bulb moment go off and it just all clicked, as a matter of fact, for me. No. I had to have someone point to Jesus before I really could believe and receive that he is who he says he is. So Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. If you've got your Bible there, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, if you're a Christian, this is a must read chapter for you if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And what Paul says is this, and I think why many of us would struggle with believing the resurrection, because here's the thing, before we go in there, 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start in verse 3. Many of us struggle with a resurrection story because we expect it to be a blockbuster film. We expect it to be like a comic character, and we don't read it that way in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, don't you think that people would have wrote it that way if it was fake? You see, the reason that those are blockbusters is they're fake. They're not real movies. They're not real things. That's not real life. But instead, we can see in the Gospels, real life only comes through Christ. So let's read what Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start in verse 3 and go to verse 8, and it says this. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, and the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. I've heard people describe that this way and say that, well, they just had a mass hallucination. Did 500 people, would they say the same thing their entire life? As a matter of fact, 480 of those 500 people were martyred for the faith. They did not die of natural causes. And they were alive when Paul wrote this letter. All of those people, they just had a mass hallucination. And if you believe that's true, have a dream tonight. And then don't tell your spouse and don't tell your neighbor and ask them to tell you at the same time what that dream was if you believe it was a mass hallucination. It wasn't. You see, before we go on to verse 7 and we talk about James here, I want to tell you the reason that that's not true is the reason that the gospel can almost seem boring to some folks is they expect this blockbuster epic pick, but there's something that's so much more rich in there, and it is the key to life. And that is Christ Jesus. It is pointing to Christ Jesus. It is pointing to God's love for each and every one of us. And don't you think that if it was fake, that somebody would renounce it, that somebody would say that it wasn't true. As a matter of fact, when I read the Bible, the perspective isn't that it needs to be something that's just something exotic, something that's just so flowery and fluffy. Instead, I read real accounts of people who say, listen, as Paul just said, the reason I'm sharing this is because I was dead and now I'm alive. I was once dead in my sin and now I'm alive, and I just have to point to the truth. And the truth is so important, I can't contain it and keep it to myself. I have to share it with all of those who are around. You see, that can only be found. That can only be found in a world with the resurrection. Verse 7 goes on to say, then he appeared to James, Now, James is the brother of Jesus. If you ever read the Bible, James wrote a book in the Bible. And when Jesus walked the earth, James didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't believe that Jesus was, he said he was. He's a younger brother of Jesus, obviously. But yet, when Jesus appeared to him after he was resurrected, James says, I believe. Because here's the thing. How many of us would believe today before we beat James up if our sibling came home and said, hey, I'm the Son of God? How many of us would be like, yeah, okay. Most of us, right? But you see, that same thing Jesus said, Jesus told James, he told everyone, listen, I will die for everyone's sin and I will rise again on the third day. And they just told him and thought that he was crazy until it actually happened. And then they knew that if he died and rose again on the third day, that he must be the Son of God. And so James did that. He wrote an awesome letter in the New Testament. But then after Jesus not only appeared to the disciples, to Mary Magdalene, and to the other Mary, he appears to 500 people at one time. He appears to James, and then he appears to all the apostles, and also he appears to Paul when Paul writes this letter to the Corinth church in verse 8. And so what am I getting at today? What I'm getting at today is this. What Easter means to you, will really determine your eternity. I'm telling you, what Easter means to me is I was once dead in my sin. I had no way to get out. And because of that, Jesus Christ came. He lived the perfect life I couldn't live because of my sin. He died the death on the cross for my sin that I deserve. The penalty of my sin was death. But you see, he loved me enough that he didn't stay dead. He rose again and left an empty tomb. And the same power that rose him, that rose him from the dead is the same power he gives us when we're in him in the Holy Spirit. And the reason he gives that is not so that we have to wait to experience heaven. We get to live out heaven on earth now by being exactly who he created us to be. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't make this decision for you. As much as I would love to, I can't. And so today, maybe Easter means so many things to you, but I would just really, truly ask you, would you consider Jesus? Would you consider that he is who he says he is? Would you consider that maybe a life with the resurrection is worth so much more than a life without it? Would you see today that for you to be exactly who you were created to be, that it can only be found in Christ Jesus? Would you know that you can try to build the bridge to eternity yourself all day long? You can try to build the bridge to sustaining life all day long. Do you think that the next job promotion is going to do it? Do you think that the next house is going to do it? The next kid is going to do it? The next marriage is going to do it? The next car is going to do it? The next diploma is going to do it? And I just want to ask you, would you consider Jesus? Would you just in this moment consider Jesus? Would you please consider Jesus? Maybe you're not, because you say, I've got issues with the Bible. It's hard for me to believe everything that's written in it. And I want to tell you, if you don't consider Jesus and you don't consider the resurrection, I want to tell you that the Bible doesn't matter without Jesus. The Bible doesn't matter without the resurrection. The Bible absolutely does not matter without the resurrection, because it hasn't been fulfilled, because it isn't fulfilled. But with the resurrection, the Bible carries so much more significance. As a matter of fact, right now, maybe you're struggling saying, but if there is a world with the resurrection, why in the world am I going through this season? Why am I going through this pain? Why am I going through this hurt? And I will tell you what has answered that question right now elsewhere in the world. Who else is giving you that answer? Because I can tell you who the answer is, and the answer is Christ Jesus. He is the only one that can give you that answer. He is the only one that can walk with you through it. He's the only one that can give you hope in every season. He's the only one that can show you that everything matters. He's the only one that can show you have an identity and you have a purpose. He's the only one that can give you love that will never fade. He is the only thing that can do that. And so would you please consider Jesus? Would you please? Because the thing is, you may think, I'm too messed up for Jesus to love me. And I want to tell you, nothing can be further from the truth. You may say, well, I just don't have all the answers to follow Jesus. And I want to tell you, nothing can be further from the truth. Because the answer is this. You just have to believe he is who he says he is to receive him. You see, what Easter is all about is one of the most famous verses you see all over the place right now. And growing up, I remember seeing it everywhere. But it's John 3:16, and it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And many people cut that off, but I want to tell you today that it doesn't stop there. Verse 17 is so important for each and every one of us, and why I believe so many people don't believe in Jesus because they haven't seen this and don't believe, they haven't experienced this. And I want you to see that God's trying to tell you today that he loves you. He loves you because he sent his Son. He sent his Son to die in our place so that we can be in a relationship with him. But more importantly, I want you to see this in verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Right now, Jesus is asking, will you believe? Will you be like John when he went to see the empty tomb? Will you believe? We're not talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're not talking about something that's going to happen down the line. I want to tell you today that today can be your day where you believe and receive. And I want to help you because someone helped me. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me these words, and everyone to do it because we pray as a family. And it goes like this: "Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how." And with every head bow and every eye closed, I want to tell you, it's not the words of this prayer that will save you, but the faith. If you can say for the first time that you believe Jesus is who he says he is, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. 1, 2, 3. If you're watching on live.thevine.tv, you're going to see a hand that's up. Will you respond by clicking it? If you're listening throughout the week, would you email us at prayer@thevine.tv? We have people who want to walk with you and celebrate this step that you have taken today. Whatever you are, would you please, please, please celebrate today if you have given your life to Jesus for the first time. If you have just believed he is who he says he is, we want to celebrate with you. Would you please let us know? Maybe you would like to text or give someone a phone call. Reach out to us at 864-580-6698. Wherever you are today, I want you to know that the reason you are here today is so that Jesus could show you what Easter was all about. I want you to know that God loves you and that we love you too. So I'm about to pray and we're going to continue in worship. And then we're going to conclude our Vine TV Easter. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to be here today and we get to lift your name high. Jesus, we don't deserve to get to do any of this, but you loved us enough that you made a way for each and every one of us. So I pray today, maybe we just needed the reminder. Maybe there was a time that we received and believed and we seem to have forgotten it in the season we're in. Jesus, I just pray that you would remind us that you are our bridge to life. I pray today that we would see you in a fresh new way. And however we walked in here today, I pray that we leave here better than how we walked in because we saw you. Jesus, right now, there are many in the world living in a world without the resurrection. And you have already risen from the dead. So I pray for those of us who are in you and believe you are who you say we are. You are, excuse me. You are who you say you are. Jesus, I pray that we would be bold enough to share you and share the truth with everyone you place in our path. Thank you that we get to celebrate Easter, Jesus. Thank you that Easter isn't just one day on a calendar, but instead we get to celebrate it every day that we are in you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray and for your glory. Amen. Let's enjoy another song from Vine Worship.
Truth and lies cold. doubted. When the voices say I'm not good at all, be the voice that drowns it. Calm my weary soul.
You're open to me. No other love than that.
So today, all of us have a next step to take. Hey, maybe during that song, you realized that you needed to give your life to Jesus and you're scrambling trying to figure out, what was I supposed to do? What was supposed to happen? I just want to remind you, you just have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he came. He lived the perfect life we couldn't live because of our sin, that he died the death we deserved for our sin, paying for our sin on the cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead and rose again on the third day so that we can live life and live it to the full, being exactly who he created us to be and live out heaven on earth. For others of us right now, maybe we're in Christ Jesus, but we're just in a rough season and we need to talk to somebody today. If that's you, just like for earlier, we said, hey, we're going to have folks in Zoom rooms if you're listening on Sunday, but maybe you're listening throughout the week. I would love to encourage you to reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or give us a text message or phone call at 864-580-6698. I want to tell you right now, Jesus didn't create you to walk through this season alone. You've got a family here at The Vine that would love, love, love to walk through this season with you. And for everyone, thank you for celebrating The Vine TV Easter. I will tell you, over these past three Easters we've gotten to celebrate together, each one has been so uniquely different. Yet I'm so thankful that Jesus allows us to walk through it every year with him being glorified and with him getting all the fame and with him giving us the hope that only he can bring. So right now, as we get ready to close, I just want to encourage you. Maybe somebody's name's popping up on your mind right now. I'd ask you to share this with them. Hey, as a matter of fact, more importantly, I would ask you to check in with them. I would ask you to make sure that they're okay. I would ask you, even before you do that, to pray about it and to maybe even pray with them when you reach out to them, because I believe today that Jesus is building bridges right now like never before. He is showing folks right now that he is the bridge to life. And in this moment, it's not going to be a cure for a virus. It's not going to be an isolation that we walk through. Instead, it's going to be a trusting and believing that he is who he says he is. So would you do that today? Would you take that next step of faith that Jesus is calling you to take? I hope that you have an amazing week. I can't wait to connect with you again next week. I want you to know that God loves you, I love you, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.